can handle the truth.
Welcome back. Top of the second hour of today's Road Warrior Radio broadcast this Monday, November 19th, 2018. Just reflecting on the holiday season and what that means as we start to head into the holiday season. And this week, in particular, Thanksgiving. What does all of this mean? It's interesting that we live in a society that it's been normalized to think that the state will tell you what observances to keep. And people will say, well, that's not entirely true. You know, we still sort of really, who discusses with their children these days what these observances mean? Children, we won't be in school, or, you know, whatever you want to call it, indoctrination, propaganda, inculcation. We won't be in school for a couple of days this week. Why? Children don't learn about these things from their parents anymore. And in an institution that has been encouraged to set God aside and leave God out, What are they learning? It's just fascinating, you know, that parents would leave these important concepts and lessons that they alone should impart to their children to strangers whom they don't even know. And this has been normalized in this society, which I think is further evidence of the drift. So I talked about in the first hour the what I believe one of the most effectual means of engineering a drift in society is this funny money system. Well, we got to do something. We got to go along to get along, which is one of the things that, again, speaking of JFK's profiles and courage, one of the things that he observed, he said, you know, when I was in freshman senator, I think, that was the lesson imparted to me. To get along, you must go along. So if you live in a small town where you had a certain amount of industry that generated a certain amount of prosperity for the town and the townspeople, and maybe that industry was disrupted. Maybe, I mean, I'll use the example. The town I was born in, Libby, Montana, had the dam project at one point, which was obviously not that came with funding outside the local area. Then you had the mining and forestry. The mining has been a point of particular controversy, and that's very unfortunate. But the mining industry has all but been shut down, and setting the controversy aside, that's obviously had a very deleterious impact on the economy. Forestry, same thing. We're you know, that again, setting the controversy aside, logging is virtually non-existent compared to what it was 25 or 30 years ago, for example. And I mean, I remember growing up in that town, seeing a mill that employed, in a town of less than 5,000 people, a mill that employed 700 or 800 people. Imagine that. To not having that mill anymore, that whole footprint is gone now. There used to be a giant plant right on Highway 2. You know, you could hear the whistle to start the day and to end the day. So, you know, it was like the thing you hear in Fred Flintstone or the Flintstones, that kind of a thing. You'd hear that in the morning and in the afternoon to start and to end the workday. And it's gone. So what do you do if you're a town like that? There are so many towns across this country that have had their economies disrupted by forces larger than the town. And the issue is compounded and magnified by the funny money system. When the funny money system is introduced, this so-called fractional reserve system that we have, central banking system that we have in this society, it will create an engineered scarcity through inflation, the invisible tax of inflation. And it's not a static tax. In other words, now suddenly every year, you know, it's an extra $5 or whatever. No, it's a dynamic issue that grows over time because it diminishes the purchasing power of each unit in the system. And because of that, over time, the taxes that a community raises will buy fewer and fewer services. They will afford fewer and fewer services. So then what must the community do to survive? Do they raise taxes? How can you keep doing that when the people suffer from the same imposed, contrived scarcity? And, you know, that's when these special deals start to be floated around, special little backdoor behind-the-scenes deals and things like FEMA cash. Oh, we can get federal funding for certain things, millions of dollars, but are there strings attached? Of course there are. And if there aren't, then why are you getting this funding? There must be some reason. Most of the funding that I've seen looking at the CAFRs of communities, and I haven't looked at many, I would say. I've looked at a few. But most of it has to do with law enforcement, first responder kind of stuff. And in many cases, that seems predatory. And I've even heard judges and city commissioners make the same sort of references. Well, you know, we could raise revenue through citations and prosecutions in particular. So you're preying on people, preying on tourism, especially in areas where communities are trying to encourage tourism to some degree to bolster their economies. But you have judges and commissioners saying things like, well, we can raise revenue through prosecutions from citations and things. That, you know, if you're preying on folks that you're inviting in, that's a form of vampirism. So is your community turning into a town of vampires? Is that what you're doing? Is that American? It's just interesting to reflect on these things. You look around the world, for example, at places where small towns have existed for hundreds of years. How have they done that? Or in places here in America where they have really little or nothing to do with those sorts of external influences. You look back, you know, speaking of Kaczynski, I mentioned Ted Kaczynski, his manifesto, there's much food for thought in his manifesto. I'll just say that. Obviously, the methods I don't agree with, but his observations, I think, are salient and lucid. So you start reflecting on these things. We're encouraged to live in a society that is marked by immediacy and lack of reflection. We don't have time for that. We're all busy hustling about. I'm late. You know, that kind of thing. But we should be reflecting. Santayana was right. Progress, far from consisting in change, depends on retentiveness. If we hope to progress, we need to value retention and retentiveness. So when you start to reflect, it turns out that the Luddites probably weren't so foolish after all. It turns out the Amish, the Mennonite communities, not so foolish after all. Not to be plagued by the same wave of scarcity and then what to do. There was a time in this society, generally speaking, that we were more self-sufficient. We've been encouraged not to be over time by various means, whether to be self-sufficient was vilified or we were encouraged to drift toward the easy and the convenient. But I think if we're to survive as a society, as a civilization, so to speak, we probably need to get back to being a little more self-sufficient in our homes, in our communities. And it's hard to imagine that's possible with the central banking system in place. Because as many have observed, and I mentioned several of them on this broadcast, it's almost unequivocal. As far as I know, there are some who might try to equivocate and say that, you know, it doesn't produce scarcity in the end, total collapse, but I think that's an argument that's easily rebutted. So I would say the overwhelming argument, based on the overwhelming evidence, is that this sort of economic and financial system is designed for ruin and collapse and to take everyone down with it that doesn't know better. And so we would do well to do away with it. And good luck with that, right? Especially at this point, more than 100 years later, what was a contest of wills, so to speak, you know, to borrow from Toynbee's observation that he did not believe that civilizations have to die because civilization is not an organism, it is a product of wills, or a contest of wills, as I would say. You know, you look back at the turn of the 20th century at what was happening, and there was certainly a contest of wills, and that hasn't stopped. And I think that we're seeing the difficult moments before the real hard choices are to come. And there are folks who have observed that the closer you get to those difficult, the really difficult moments, the more cognitive dissonance we seem to experience, the more we want to pretend it's not true. It seems like that's where we are today. You know, just the blatant schizophrenia we seem to suffer from in this society. I mean, there are so many examples. One of the biggest that I've mentioned recently is the fact that we murder unborn children by the thousands in this society on a daily basis, and yet just a few short months later, suddenly it's an outrage if someone does something to a child. That's schizophrenia. That's a mental illness. It is a mental disorder to think that one moment you can murder a child and the next moment it's a crime. It's a mental disorder. And yet, that's the sort of mental disorder from which this society suffers, generally speaking, which has been normalized. And there are many others like it. And these things have a momentum. Again, as Toynbee observed in A Study of History, not only him, but even he mentions the spiritual connotations. And so the deeper consequences there are that if man is a spiritual being, what does that portend? And so you can see the echoes in Toynbee's Study of History of what has been planned. In simple terms, I would skip right to Pike's letter to Mazzini, the most prophetic letter allegedly never written, August 15, 1871, outlining three world wars. They took place. And speaking of that, James Corbett just did some really interesting stuff. The World War I conspiracy is fascinating stuff. You should check it out, part one and part two. Fascinating stuff. Why is it important? Well, because here we are. Like he says, you know, we're living through that conspiracy still today. For what purpose? You know, man is a spiritual being, whether he wants to admit it to himself or not. Doesn't matter. You don't have to admit it to yourself, but you are, whether you want to admit it, whether you want to believe it or not. Doesn't matter. You know, what's that old cliche? Gravity doesn't care whether you believe it. Fire doesn't care. And now those concepts are being adulterated. Science doesn't care about your... Yeah, well, let's talk about what is science and what is not science. Pseudoscience is not science. Torturing data to scream whatever tune you want is not science. You know, deciding what you want to your hypothesis to conclude and then engineering all of your data gathering and your work around the conclusion you want to come to, that's not science. So Pike's letter outlining three world wars, for what purpose? Each building on the next, essentially. And we saw that. I mean, even the mainstream historians see how, for example, the reparations that were imposed on the Germans led to the Second World War. Things were already tenuous. And you have the rumblings of the outcome of the Second World War before the First World War. It was in the press. You can find the numbers, you know, 6 million Jews in the press before the First World War, the turn of the 20th century. I wonder why that is. You know, the conspirators working toward world domination at the turn of the 20th century, controlling the press. No mystery that these sound bites were already being floated. And so it's been like a little story that we've been hypnotized to follow day by day. We need to step back, take a broader assessment of things and see before we're led off a cliff where we're being led. Be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsight.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell five.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
It's really interesting. You know, maybe we'll play a little excerpt from part one of the World War Conspiracy. The World War Conspiracy, World War One Conspiracy, part one, to start a war. You watch that. James does a great job. And you have, if you have as the backdrop of that, Albert Pike's letter to Mazzini, August 15, 1871, you start to see this thing taking shape. And this letter, this alleged letter, was publicly disclosed and known about by 1925, thanks to Cardinal Rodriguez. which was just 7 years after the conclusion of World War One. And so it's hard to imagine someone would write this provocatively about World War One and foreshadow World War Two and World War Three and see all of this take shape exactly as it has. How do you do that if there is not some conspiracy behind all of this? You know, First World War must be brought about in order to permit the Illuminati to overthrow the power of the czars in Russia. Did that happen? And of making the country a fortress of atheistic communism. Did that happen? The divergences caused by the agentur of the Illuminati between the British and Germanic empires will be used to foment this war. Did that happen? At the end of the war, communism will be built and used in order to destroy the other governments and in order to weaken the religions. Did that happen? Has it continued? Into the second. Anyway, fascinating stuff. As usual, I think James did a fantastic job. To the phones, Fred in Iowa, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yeah, good morning, Chris.
Good morning, Fred.
Chris, I'm not going to be make short calls anymore. So
okay.
You want to jump in and, interrupt me, I beg you do that. But you can get more information out. You asked the question, well, what are they doing or what more are they doing? Well, Chris, every host and even atheist host on our being have covered that in so many areas. Now, you by far do the best job because you tie it in with the Word and the Bible. But we've got to get to the bottom line. Time is short. Now I'm going to read some verses. And anytime you want to jump in there, Chris, please do. But let's go to the last verse in Revelation 12. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus. Chris, question. What is the commandments of God? I'll answer that. His law, the Ten Commandments. Okay, let's go to chapter in Revelation 14, verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the wrath of Jesus and the faith of Jesus. Okay, let's go to Revelation 19 and 10. Testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. There's only one church that teaches prophecy. Now let's go back to the seal of God. The seal of God is the fourth commandment. And let's go to Revelation chapter 14, verse 7. Same with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of water. Well, that's the seal. That's his name, God, his job, the creator, and his territory, the whole universe.
Yeah. Hold that thought, Fred. We'll be right back. Folks, stick around. More right after this break.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you a few from Amazon.com. By Mel. Great product. My husband and father-in-law use it regularly. Both my husband and father-in-law have had significant change in their blood pressure and overall health. By Amazon customer. It works for me. Returned to buy the tincture and the capsules as they were on sale during February. Unlike some other products, this one worked for blood pressure and occasional irregular heartbeat. Extendivite produced noticeable results after just two bottles, a four-month supply. I take Extendivite three times a day, every day. I think the supplement has helped with my increased fitness regime and to lower my blood pressure. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Do you know there is an ongoing war right here in America? Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Phones and phone lines are open. Fred in Iowa, go ahead.
Okay. Time is short. Let's go to Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8. But I'm going to start in verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now here is verse 8 of Revelation book chapter 21. And you usually go to by the rule of first mention carries the most weight, whether it's in a chapter or a verse. And I'm going to read chapter 21 of Revelation, verse 8. But the blank and the blank and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and the sorcerers and the idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth in fire and brimstone, which is a second death. Now I'll read that verse again. Revelation chapter 21, verse 8. But the fearful and the unbelieving, that is the greater of their sins is the whoremonger and the liar. If you fear God, you'll lose your fear of man. But if you don't believe in God, you'll fear man, you'll fear everything. Okay, the next thing I want to say is judgment starts with the house of God, the house of Lord. Christians and so-called Christians will be judged first. Their probation ends first. And the atheists, agnostics, unbelievers, people that's never been aware of the Bible, they still have a chance. But the so-called Christians and so-called believers, we get judged first. And to corroborate that is chapter 22. He that is unjust, let him be unjust still. And he which is filthy, let him be filthy still. And he that is righteous, let him be righteous still. And he that is holy, let him be holy. Okay, let's jump to another thing. If and until you know who the first and the second beast is, it is useless, worthless to go on with all this gab and this talk. It gives us the reasons of the present truths that are happening. But if you don't know who the beast is, how in the heck can you stop from taking his mark? And chapter 13 covers that, and Revelation covers that pretty well. And I have read that before, and I can't take the time right now to read all of chapter 13. But chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw a beast rise up out of the sea. What that means, the sea water represents nations, multitudes, and tongues. The beast come out of a very populated area, which happened to be Europe, which was the 10 countries then. The beast come out of him. The second beast come out of a land that was sparsely populated. That was the New World. That was the Americas. This beast had two horns, and he looked like a lamb. The two horns represent the separation of church and state. But when he spake, this land, lamb with two horns spake as a beast. Okay. Chapter 13, I stood upon the sand of the sea and saw the beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his ten horns crown, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto leopard, and his feet were as the feet of the bear, and the mouth of a lion, and the dragon gave him his power. The devil gave him his power. And that went like the statue in time of Nebuchadnezzar. The head of gold was Babylon. The head and shoulders of brass was Medo-Persia. And the thighs are silver of the head and shoulders. And the thighs of silver was Alexander, and the horse was Alexander the leopard. He traveled real fast, and when he died, his four generals, the four heads of the leopard of Greece, the last beast, and then it goes on to the little horn power. We have nothing to fear in the first death. Nothing to fear if we are in Christ. It's the second death. And that second death comes 1,000 years later when we are the Christian and the believers are in heaven with Christ, and we are judging angels and people. And then Christ will resurrect the sinners that have died once. And they'll try to make war with the new Jerusalem, the new earth, new recreated earth. And then they will be consumed and perish by fire, and they will not be punished in hell forever and ever and ever and ever. That is a lie. They cease to exist. That's the second death. Well, you give me enough time for today. Well, I want to give a website out. John in Tennessee, pay attention. Mark Finley, F-I-N-L-A-Y, versus David Gates, G-A-T-E-S. No Sunday law in UN climate change deal. Ted Wilson, Mark of the Beast. Okay, that's it for me, Chris. Thank you very much for the time, and God bless, and as many people as we can get the word to. Bye-bye, and thank you.
You're welcome, Fred. Thank you, as always. That's quite a bit to reflect on. Interesting. I really just wanted to sort of lay the groundwork this week that heading into this so-called holiday season, we would be reflecting as we feel led to. So, hopefully that corresponds to what I was saying. Anyway, let's get back to the phones in the interest of time. Jenna from Washington. Jenna in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you. Brian made several calls with the thought of setting up an interview with Ryan Zinke. And it's almost a game just trying to achieve getting a hold of the right person to contact, but we did get the email for the Interior Press Secretary, and I have a draft that I just wanted to read that encapsulates the idea we're going with and trying to follow through with communicating to governance about wildfire suppression and a goal of turning a leaf and making a new system happen. So I'm just going to read the rough draft, if you don't mind.
That's good fine.
Morning.
Go ahead.
Okay, thanks. Good morning. The suggested interview on RBN is an independent attempt to provide an alternative solution to President Trump's rake idea to suppress wildfires. Washington State 2017 legislation attempted to direct resources to biochar research and development, Initiative 4014. It did not pass. Mike Warjone of Port Blakely Tree Farm holds 100,000 acres of timber in Washington and Oregon State. The initiative 1631 did not pass in Washington, however, created a possible future incentive program to direct resources to carbon sequestration. Slash pile burns of wood waste are currently being pyrolyzed into biochar, demonstrated in Adna, Washington. Mike Warjone is in correspondence with Washington State Lands Commissioner Hillary France for an air quality regulation exemption to demonstrate to DNR a slash pile biochar burn for waste removal and biochar production being the return valued product. Jared Johnson is a U.S. Navy cadet serving on a GI Bill. He has a slash pile biochar burn. He has earned a degree in forestry and agriculture. He has offered a demonstration for DNR and Mike Warjone to integrate ideas into a large-scale operation. His rural equipment independently achieved on his dime a successful return for a one-man operation. We have machinery in mind for large-scale operations. The proposed interview on the morning broadcast of Road Warrior is hosted by Chris Hinckley. He and Ryan Zinke both served as Navy SEALs. There are solutions to stewardship practice in wildfires.
I didn't serve as a SEAL.
You did not?
I was a hard hat diver. No.
Oh, okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
I'm glad you corrected me. There are solutions to stewardship practice and wildfires which government agency has not mentioned. This is an opportunity to both associate positive direction and agree better solutions are attainable with dialogue with governing agency. President Trump may need some guidance in regards to forest and agricultural practices. This interview may be a good starting point to achieve returns. Please respond for pictures of demonstrations, proposed industrial equipment, and contact information to Chris Hinckley and Jared Johnson. Respectfully, Jenna Chaputis and Brian Bennett. This is an attempt, and I just wanted to read that.
And you did.
Yeah. So thank you for that time.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. We'll see what comes of that. And, you know, like I told Brian last week, I don't hold out hope that conversations with establishment types will be fruitful, but who knows? You know, sure, you got to start somewhere. So,
people that are following this thought, if there's conflict that comes out of it or nothing that comes out of it, it reveals what is, and it's the truth of what is. So I don't think it's all for nothing, because we've never tried anything like this before, and how removed are people from governing agency? And when there's a huge problem, do they want a solution from public? I mean, ideally, they are under our you know, we pay for all of this, and the relationship will be revealed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. Well,
you know, you're welcome. Thank you, Jenna. We'll see what happens. It is a step. And so it sort of, again, it reminds me of, you know, just reading through JFK's Profiles in Courage and the razor thin fine line of what it means to be a statesman, and you know how politics is a thankless job. It's easy to criticize, but you really have no friends in politics. I would say there are strategic political alliances and there are adversaries or enemies, but where are their friends? I don't know. So to be a statesman is, gosh, it's almost an unachievable balance. So difficult, easy to criticize. Anyway, thanks, Jenna. As always, appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Bye. Back to the phones. In the interest of time, Timothy in Washington, thanks for calling. Welcome.
Yes, Chris, always a great show. And yeah, you're right, sort of a top 10 rules in politics. The first top 10, one of them is there are no friends in politics. But
yeah.
I wanted to just let your audience know that, and I know you don't believe the left-right democratic conservative type Republican paradigm, but there was a civil war among this cabal of the deep, you know, the deep state, basically on one side, globalist, New World Order, and then you had Trump, the Patriots, wanting to take things more of a nationalistic type Fortress America way. So there was a civil war, and the reason why I'm calling is that your audience needs to know the deep state has actually won. These last elections that just happened proved that they captured Congress. And so what this means is that Trump is captured now. However he started out, the fact of the matter is he has now been appropriated. And so the next plays in the rule book for what the deep state wants to do is basically we're going to go to this economic collapse, and then we're going to go to a world war. That is their model. That is their organizing principle, what they got set up. And if you actually take a look, for instance, the market today, I think it's down another 300-400 points. But the civil war among the cabal, if you want to call it that, has been decided. The deep state were too strong. They ripped off many, many elections coast to coast. And so Trump looks like they're going to use him now and collapse this economy around him. And then as he runs for 2020, he's not going to make it. But they're going to use him up then again for war. And so I wanted to, you know, I don't know what your meter is, how you gauge that, but that's what I'm looking at as the big picture of what's about to happen. What do you
see?
Well,
there's an imminent collapse that has been forestalled for years already.
Yep.
And
yeah,
a number of folks have talked about that. You know, I keep going back to Jim Rickard's MSNBC back in 2009. September 2009, the future of the dollar thing. I think that's still on CNBC. It's CNBC, actually. He did an interview back then, and he told us what was going to happen. And the requested video is unable to play. Imagine that. Jim Rickards, director of market intelligence for scientific consulting firm Omnis. He was a forensic accountant, I think, at Omnis, which I believe is headquartered in Langley, which should tell folks all you need to know. But he was telling us what was coming. Anyway, in recent years, Jim Rickards and, you know, et al. Over at Agora have been basically warning us about the impending collapse. I've seen several commercials with what's his name, rich dad guy, Robert Kiyosaki.
Well, not only that, Chris, you got on Drudge. You have on Drudge today. mainstream, yeah, they're telling us 87 crash coming today.
Yeah. You know, that's usually sort of after the fact. I these guys, you know, Addison Wiggin over at Agora is the guy who sort of likes to brag that he's predicted the last several, you know, handful of big crashes over the last several decades. And he's the guy behind the IOUSA documentary and some other things. But, you know, so it's kind of like it's like this side of the wizard's curtain, these people this side of the wizard's curtain telling us this is what the wizard is foreshadowing, kind of thing. And they've been saying it for years. It's coming. I don't really have any faith in Donald Trump or that he's not an establishment guy. To me, he's an establishment salesman. And I had a conversation over the weekend with somebody along similar lines. And this gets back to what I was saying earlier about these allegiances that blind people, I think, you know, you could see it in Obama acolytes. I think you see the same thing in, you know, the Trump apologists.
Right. Well, here's your problem, Chris, is that let's say you are right about Trump. Think about what's happened. Too much hate and too much exposure of the deep state without Donald Trump. They would never have paid complete open exposure from top to bottom of the deep state, as well as just massive amount of hate and anger at this guy. He's not a skit in a play. He really tried to get in there, thought he could do something, but for whatever reason, they were able to capture him. I don't know what they had on him.
I disagree. And, you know, getting back to the conversation I had over the weekend, you know, talking to folks and saying, you know, do we remember that he's the guy? It was an extemporaneous remark, you know, these extemporaneous remarks that he makes, like, well, you know, maybe we should take guns and follow due process later. What? That was an extemporaneous remark. Or when he says, what was the other big one? There have been several. There was that one. There was, you know, sort of off-the-cuff remarks while he was stumping on the campaign trail for others. Recently, he said, you know, I would bomb those guys to kingdom come, talking about – sounded like John McCain. And he said, you know, I'd bomb those guys and take their oil. And have you ever seen Exxon come in? They come in, and they're so good at – I mean, who is this guy? I was shocked. And those were extemporaneous remarks. So – looking at those moments where he's giving these unprepared remarks that are worlds apart from candidate Trump, and hearing him talk about the deal and the art of the deal and seeing what he's done over the course of his lifetime.
I mean, look what he's done, Chris. He's exposed the whole deep state. That's what he's done.
He's done massive damage to him. Yeah.
I mean, everybody, it's not you that... Anyways, yeah. Okay, Chris, always a great show. Thanks so much.
I respectfully disagree, but, you know, I mean, it's worth looking into, and I wish we, you know, maybe we can talk about it more tomorrow or sometime in the future. Anyway, I appreciate it, Timothy. Folks, as always, it truly is an honor and a pleasure. I hope it was informative. Take care. God bless. We'll catch you on the other side.
A wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can.